You're listening to American Medicine Today, presented by the Bonatti Spine Institute, featuring internationally acclaimed inventor of the Bonatti spine procedures, Alfred Bonatti, MD. Once again, your host, Kimberly Bermel Bonatti, and co-host Ethan Uecker and Jeff Wagstaff.
Thank you so much for joining us on American Medicine Today, continuing to listen for our affiliates. Our new guest grew up in a Midwestern funeral home where her dad was an undertaker, but she found that life was anything but morbid. Now, her name is Margot Lenmark, and her latest book is called Light in the Morning, Memoirs of an Undertaker's Daughter. Thank you for being here, Margot.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes.
Hey, Margot, I got to set up this interview by saying I don't often do, as the producer, I book the guests. I don't often do pre-interviews, but Margot wanted to, there's a million things that she could talk about. So she kind of wanted to have a little pre-conversation. I ended up talking to her for an hour just because she's fascinating. And I know.
And this is right up your alley.
Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, I'm into the metaphysical and the spiritual and near-death experiences and all that kind of stuff. I know docs tends to think it's a little new agey and foo-foo, but there's a lot of messages in your book that I think we need to get into. So first off, I mean, just tell us a little bit about your upbringing as the daughter of an undertaker.
Okay. Well, I grew up around a funeral home, and so I'm very comfortable with it. You know, I was in and out of the funeral home, getting rides home from school, and it, for as long as I could remember. And so we had a very normal upbringing. You know, it wasn't macabre at all. It wasn't like the Addams Family at the funeral home. It was, we were a very normal family, and I'm very comfortable with the idea of death. And as my father was running his white glove business, I, you know, was playing hide and seek under the caskets with my brothers. And, you know, we were scaring our friends and things like that. And, you know, we did the normal kid thing in the funeral home like that behind the scenes. But I was around death my whole life. And that's why this subject to me is very comfortable.
Okay.
I'm very easy about that whole subject, which is why, I guess, why I wrote the book.
Margot, some of the information that Ethan put together for us prior to talking to you is it said that death speaks to you and you have received messages from loved ones, from the people who are grieving. Tell us about that.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what happened. People that are very close to me have died and they've left me very clear messages about life, what's important in life. And isn't that kind of what we want, is that people come back and tell us what's important about life? And that's basically what happened. And all of the messages came in very different ways. Sometimes people came to me in dreams. Sometimes they gave me a message right before they died. There's various ways that the messages came, but they all did. And they were not random messages. They had to do with my life with that person. The message in the end made good sense, in other words. Mm-hmm. And every single message I got was different from the other message, and every single one changed how I lived my life completely.
And what do you say to people that would be skeptical of what you just stated?
Well, and not, before you even answer that, Margot, that was part of why I talked to Margot ahead of time, because I believe in a lot of that stuff, the metaphysical, precognition, premonitions, things like that, but not only are there a lot of skeptics, and rightfully so, because there's a lot of fakers out there. There's a lot of BS surrounding that whole thing, you know? I didn't want it to be a discussion that's sort of like a coast-to-coast with Art Bell kind of discussion, because we're, you know, we're a little more legitimate of a show than that. But, you know, so like Kimberly said, to the skeptics, what would you say about something like that?
Well, all I can say is I think, you know, in reading the book, you'll see that they're not, it's not, it doesn't sound ooga booga at all when you read it, because they're just my experiences. I've always been very kind of sensitive and intuitive. They're not psychic. It's not like that at all, but they're very real experiences that happened to me. I mean, I can give you an example of one so that you know, I kind of take the fear out of it.
Sure.
You know, we've heard so many experiences of near-death experiences and things like that. And I don't know, it's hard not to believe those people when you hear their story, because they had that experience. I'll give you one quick example so that you're aware. One of the big lessons I learned in life was from my mother. She was an alcoholic, and we had a very, very contentious relationship throughout our life. We fought like cats and dogs. because I was the one that called her out on her drinking, and she remembered that every time she drank. Mm. And one time she came to my house, and I was driving her up to see my brother, and in the car, I'll never forget it, she looked at me. She was a little drunk. She looked great, but she was dressed to the nines, but she was a little bit, and it's just like she all of a sudden sobered up and looked at me and said, "Margo, I never meant to hurt you." Hmm. And for the next 45 minutes, she went into every time she hurt me and apologized for it.
Wow.
And we went through this laughing and crying and laughing and crying, resolving of our entire relationship. And when I dropped her off to see my brother, I drove away and I felt like I'd lost 100 pounds. I felt so incredible.
Sure.
And we were having a family reunion a week later, and the night before the family reunion, my brother called me to tell me my mother had died.
Wow. So that was one of the last times you spent with her, spent time
with
her.
It was the last time. It was the last time I spoke to my mother, and she sobered up, and she resolved our entire relationship. So how that changed me was I do, ever since then, I have resolved every single relationship in my life. I will do whatever it takes. I will leave parties. I'll stay up all night. I'll drive to someone's house in the middle of the night, whatever it takes to resolve any kind of misunderstanding, because I learned from my mother. When I heard she died, I cried really hard for about 20 minutes, and I never cried again. And the reason why is because I didn't have that unbearable pain of regret.
And lack of closure, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Great story, great
message.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because of that, I really she gave me such a gift right before she died. Mm-hmm. I have kept every relationship resolved, and, you know, when people die now, you know, I'll still have the sadness of not seeing them again, but I can promise you I will never experience that unbearable agony of irreversible regret that mm-hmm. comes with not resolving things with people.
Right. Yeah, Margo, my wife and I have always said, and it's kind of cliche in the sense that a lot of people are aware of this sort of metaphor, but my wife and I have always tried to live to the example of never let the sun set on an argument, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or even in even in the morning, if we have an argument and she leaves or I leave, one of us will call the other one and be like, "I don't really want to fight. I'm sorry." Because you could get in a car accident and die. And that was the last conversation you had was,
very true.
You know, an argument or a debate. Well, listen, we only got about a minute left. I know you have a chapter in your book about good grief, which you sort of touched upon, as well as one called The Medicine Bag. Take your pick which one you want to touch upon for the last minute or two.
Okay, well, I think good grief is really important because people don't know how to grieve. They don't know why to grieve. And grieving is the most important thing to go through because by doing that, and there's a chapter on it, there's only a couple of pages, but it's one of my most important chapters that we grieve the person properly and we incorporate them into our heart, and that's how they live on with us. And it's also important to help people through their grief. You know, when somebody dies, we don't know what to say to them. And I think a big mistake people make is they don't call the person. They just ignore them. And it's so important to call people when somebody has died, a loved one of theirs has died, so that you can help them through the process. And people say, "I don't know what to say, so I don't call them." Mm-hmm. Call them. Just say you're sorry and listen. Yes. People really need to go through their process of grief, and they need you to be there for them. And so don't make the mistake of not being there for somebody who is grieving. So there's a couple of angles on grief there.
Yeah. Wow. Right. Well, very good advice. Margo Lindmark, talking about her latest book called Light in the Morning, Memoirs of an Undertaker's Daughter. Thank you so much for sharing your experience with us.
Thanks, Margo.
Thank you so much.
Have a great weekend. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I talked to her for an hour and we just jumped from topic to topic. And I thought, how are we ever going to fit that into 10 minutes?
Interesting lady.
Just go get the book.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening to American Medicine Today.